So in our Catholic Church in Rome this morning, something very exciting happened. Does anybody know the exciting event that happened in Rome within our Catholic Church this morning? Yes, we canonized five people to sainthood. We lifted them up to that place where we look at them as examples of living a holy life, living a virtuous life, living a heroic life in many ways. And of course, the big name that got 99% of the attention was Cardinal John Henry Newman, one of the great theologians of the 19th century, a convert to Catholicism from Anglicanism. And he was a powerhouse who is still today influencing the way the church thinks and looks at how theology continues to grow as we can grow in faith and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But the other four are very interesting too. So if you read my Friday letter, you already know who the other four were. But they were four women who were remarkable in very special ways. One was Saint Dulce. She was a sister of a religious order down in Brazil. She was often referred to as the Mother Teresa of Brazil, serving the very poorest of the poor, especially in establishing medical clinics and orphanages for those, for children who are left without father and mother. Another one was Saint Mariam Teresa, a religious sister of the Syria Malabar Rite, right? One of the Eastern rites connected to the Catholic Church, and a foundress once again of an order, especially looking at the charism of taking care of the elderly and the sick. Then there was Saint Giuseppina, right? A religious sister once more who had founded a religious order, who were called to prayer, but also to serve once more the poor. But the fourth one is the one I want to talk about, and that's Saint Marguerite Bayes. She was not a religious sister; she was a woman of faith who, her biographies often mention, never left her neighborhood. She stayed where she was born and raised, and she basically lived her life in her community. Now, there were three things that marked her life, everyone said: prayer, Mass, and work. Okay, so let's raise our hands. How many of you guys pray? All right, good. How many of you guys go to Mass? How many of you guys work or go to school? All right? So we actually are doing everything that Saint Marguerite did, right? But are we doing it like she did it, as she did it? Now, she also had this very strong prayer life where she entered a mystical union with God, right? She had these moments of ecstasy in prayer. And late in life, she also was given the gift of the stigmata, the five wounds of Christ on her body, right? So those things most probably set her apart from most of us in this room tonight, especially the stigmata part. But once again, we look at her life and we sit there and say, there was really nothing remarkable about that. She visited the sick, much like many of you do. She helped around church, taught catechism, worked to help keep the church clean like our altar society does. And she did other things around the church, much like many of us do. And yet she did them in a way of love and service to God. But one of the things that was most remarkable about her was her prayer life. She would often think of someone who needed prayer, usually someone who had fallen into a sin or into a vice and had started to fall away from God, becoming separated from the community. And she would begin to pray for that person's repentance, for the sinner's repentance. And her prayer was often so powerful that very quickly that person who had turned to vice, who had turned to sin, left that and came back to God, often glorifying God, often thanking God for the gift of being freed from the chains of sin. Thinking about praying. And that gets us to our gospel today when we look at the 10 lepers who were sent away by Jesus. Go and show yourself to the priests. Basically, he was telling them, you're going to be cured. Go and show yourself. And on the way, they discovered that, yes, they had been cleansed. Their leprosy had left them. And one returns glorifying God. But what I would like you to think about, though, is what was Jesus doing while those 10 were walking towards the priests? What were those around Jesus, his disciples, who were following him to Jerusalem? What were they doing as those 10 were walking towards the priests to seek that letter of healing so that they could go back and join their families? Well, I would think that they did not forget about the 10. I don't think Jesus said, oh, you 10, go away, and then he drops them from their minds. And I don't think he's letting those disciples who are following them forget that they had sent 10 away to be healed, but rather holding them in prayer, holding them in hope, holding them in blessing is what Jesus calls us to do, and what I hope and I believe truly in my heart the disciples around Jesus were doing, entering to prayer for those 10, not forgetting them, not saying, oh, they're gone now, let's go on to the next thing that's around us, but to reminding themselves over and over again, because we don't know how long they were gone. They could have been walking a day or two or three or four before they returned to Jesus. But reminding ourselves that holding a person in prayer is a powerful aspect of who we are as Christians. Much like Saint Marguerite. Holding a person in prayer and praying for another is the very work of our Christian vocation. And sometimes that prayer involves a hug. Sometimes that prayer involves a long conversation. Sometimes that prayer involves a scold even. You shouldn't be doing that. Sometimes that prayer involves the gift of love. And sometimes it is just simply that quiet, persistent prayer in front of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, seeking healing for the person, seeking healing for ourselves, seeking healing for the life of those whom we love who are around us. And if you think about it, that is what, when we are handing out this book, A Parent Who Prays, or what we're really asking the community to do. To take a person and hold them in prayer, for parents, their children, of course, but for each one of us, to think of people who need prayer in our lives and begin to specifically ask God, to pointedly ask God, to powerfully ask God to heal them, to give them the grace to turn away from their sins, to give them the strength to walk away from their vice, to surround them with the love of our love, the community's love, the blessings of all, so that they may be whole, that they may drop the chains that St. Paul so powerfully describes and be liberated and live freely in the love and the joy and the mercy of our Lord and God. That is the call that we have. That is the example that St. Marguerite gives to us today, as she now we call saint among the saints. Because who among us does not know someone who needs prayer? Who among us does not know of a community that needs prayer? Of a country that needs prayer? Of a world that does not need prayer? The prayer of action, the prayer of faith, the prayer of power that God places within our hearts and asks us to share and to use and to grow in each and every way that we can. And so here's what I would ask you to do. At this moment, at this time, think of someone who needs a prayer. Maybe it's a brother or sister, a son or daughter, a mother or father, a cousin, a friend. Maybe it is your enemy. Someone who needs your prayer. And in a few moments, we're going to be offering our prayers to God. And offer that person up in prayer. That is part of the Mass. That is part of what we are called to do every time we come here, is to lift one another up in prayer, to place upon the altar our lives and the lives of others, to be transformed, to be made new in the image of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So think of that person. Begin to pray for that person. And take that person with you as you go from this place and continue to offer that prayer, that intercession, that they may be let go of the chains that bind them, that they may be freed to live the life of grace, the life of love, the life of peace that is found in Jesus Christ. That is our challenge each and every day, each and every week. That is a challenge that Jesus offers us this day.